It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. And we want to welcome everybody to the show. We got a lot to talk about today. Got some change of plans at Belleville today, and we're going to be talking about that here in just a little bit. Our guest today is going to be Wayne Purdy. He is part owner of the Wise Purdy Racing Team, and he's going to join us here in a little bit. We'll talk about all the success that Zeb has had here recently, and we'll talk about that. They've won a couple races in the last 10 days. So we'll talk to Wayne Purdy about that. Longtime friend of mine. I've known Wayne for a long, long time. And we had a lot of fun out on the tour with the Lucasol ASCS National Sprint Car Tour when he was the crew chief for Tony Bruce Jr. So we'll talk to Wayne Purdy here in just a little bit. We were going to have him on at 12:20, but I've just found out that they're changing motors right now. So we're going to have him on about 12:40. So we'll have Wayne on, talk about whatever's going on in their world. I'm kind of curious what's going on with their motor after their win the other night. Austin, how you doing, buddy? You doing all right? How's life treating you? Pretty good?
Not too bad.
Not too bad? You all ready to go? I mean, you're ready, right?
Yeah, that car's sitting in what I like to call show car status. It's sitting show there looking,
all
it's looking
up nice.
Yeah, it's looking pretty good, and you just sitting there ready to go for Sunday.
Well, let's get right into it, all right? Because this is, I don't know, Austin.
We were supposed to talk about a part of this yesterday. We didn't.
I know it. We didn't get to it yesterday. All right. So it really starts off, let's back up just a weekend first. USMTS, they ran at Belleville last week, right? And they raced for $10,000 to win.
Right.
And the stock cars, did you see how much they paid the stock cars to win?
It was a couple grand, wasn't it?
No.
No?
$750.
Oh, Lord.
$750. So they chose, and listen, this is no disrespect to Todd Staley, because I totally respect him. I think he is one of the great promoters in this country, to be honest with you. I think Todd does a great job. But me personally, I have a little bit of an issue with them running the stock cars on the big track. How many cars did they have? Do you know? It wasn't that many.
A stout field of 10.
A stout field of 10 cars. So they had the stock cars out on the big track, and they run the USMTS guys on the little track. Now, Austin, am I wrong, or am I cross-threaded here a little bit? They said that they didn't want to ring out their motors with the USMTS guys, right? They didn't want to take a chance of
hurting
their motors.
They said the track was too hard on equipment.
So let's make the street stocks race on it for $750 to win, and then let's have the USMTS modifieds run on the little track for $10,000 to win. Is there any place in there that doesn't sound proper or right? $750 to win. I saw the check when they put it up there on the front straightaway. It said $750 on it. Now, let me ask you, Austin, because you raced a stock car.
Yes.
A USRA stock car, right?
Yes.
You've done that before. What do you think is the average cost of a USRA stock car?
You're kind of putting me in a spot that I don't know. Like I don't, not that I don't know.
Would you say $10,000 to $20,000?
You know, I sold our car. I didn't sell it. Dad sold it, but yeah. I'll take the credit for it.
Your
real
dad's
quick.
Pretty good salesman.
We sold it for $13,500.
Turnkey.
Put seat in it. No, seat was out of it. Put your seat in it and go race it. I kept my seat. I forgot about that.
That had a crate motor in it.
It had a crate. It was a 604 crate, which I believe is what the IMCA cars have. If not, I think IMCA might be a 602, but they're really close in power and how they run. And it had a quick change rear end in it.
The 602 makes 350 horsepower. I think the 604 makes 400. Is that right?
My 604 made 425.
425. All right.
I don't. I'm so far.
You dynoed your crate motor.
Well, we bought it from Speedway Motors. When you buy a crate engine from Speedway, they put it on their dyno
and
give you a fuel sheet, a dyno sheet, and what else that comes with a dynoed engine and give it to you.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
So yeah, we knew what it made, and yeah, I mean, I don't know what a 602 makes, but I'm gonna say it's pretty close to that number, maybe three or so.
So let me ask you this. Am I thinking wrong? Why would you take the guys that are racing for 750 to win, put them out on the big track, and then the USMTS guys put them on the little track? Is there something wrong with that?
Yeah.
Am I thinking wrong there, Austin? Am I out of place?
No.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, I agree with you. It doesn't make sense that we have, you know, Belleville is known for the half mile. I mean, that's one of the most historic dirt tracks in the country. And you're going to put a local class on there that doesn't have a whole lot of pull with it. I mean, stock cars have fans, but not the fan base that the USMTS Modifieds have. I mean, it's like going to Bristol. You know, it's you're going to such a, you know,
wide open, hold it to the floor type of track.
Yeah, I mean, it's historic. And you're going to race. You want to be there for this nostalgic feel of it. And, I mean, it doesn't have – when you say you want a Belleville, you want to say you want it the half mile at Belleville. You don't want to say you want it the quarter mile.
Right.
You know, it means more when you want it the half mile,
in my opinion. But when you read the press releases, didn't it act like that they were running on the big track because they said the high banks of Belleville?
They call the
– Is the little track high banks?
No.
It looks almost flat to me.
I don't know what they're calling it, but it's not close to the half mile at all.
Yeah.
I mean, we know that, but.
So, is there something wrong with that the low banks, little track is low banks? Do you think that there's something wrong with making the street stocks run on the big track and the guys that are paying 750 to win running on the big, fast track? Now, who do you think has more money, a USMTS National Touring Modified guy or a street stock guy?
I'm going to say the USMTS team, you know.
And they're racing.
Don't get me wrong. There are some stock car teams that have
budgets.
They have a good budget. I mean, I bet the Murdys who went there with the dad and the kid have a good budget. I mean, they have good equipment. But, I mean, your average Joe Blow, I mean, he's not – I mean, if you have something fail at that track, I mean, it's going to put you out for a season or whatever. I mean, you know, it's not, how do I want to say it? It's not made for everybody.
Right. And Caleb said on here, especially with 10 cars, 10 cars on a quarter mile would be a way better show. But here's the thing. If you're going to Belleville, you got to run on the big track, don't you?
I would think so. I mean, like I said, when I say Belleville to you, what do you think of?
I think of the big track.
You think of the big track?
I don't think of the little track.
And you think of the Belleville Midget Nationals. That's the two things you think of.
Right.
When you go there, you don't think of this. That right there.
No.
I mean, come on.
Come on, man. That's not Belleville.
No. And I mean...
If you're going to advertise it that you're going to run on the quarter mile track and not run on the big track, right? Because everything that I saw, they would say the high banks of Belleville.
Yeah.
Well, when I see that, I automatically think they're going to run on the big track, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, people might say, well, you're going to be harder on equipment on a half mile. Yeah, you're right. But what was your guys's logic when you went to Bristol? Bristol's the same way. You never lifted at Bristol. I mean, Bristol was brutal on stuff. Just ask Mike Marler. I mean, he destroyed a car there, and he wasn't the only one. So then what's your reasoning to say that you can't race at Belleville on the half mile, but you can go to Bristol any day of the week and do it. And also, too, I mean, you might not have the wear and tear on the engine on a quarter mile, but, I mean, it's door banging racing. I mean, you start beating doors with people, you're going to start tearing stuff up. So, I mean, any racing on, no matter what it is, it's just as expensive as the next, in my opinion.
Right. But I think they did it ass backwards. The USMTS guys should have been on the big track, and the 10-car field, the stock car, should have been on the little track.
Yeah, because, right? I mean, you look, they crashed a couple of cars at the start of that stock car race. One actually cleared the fence off of three.
I saw that, and just nearly destroyed that car.
I think he took out the light, too, like the traffic light.
Right.
But, I mean, they got spread out. You know, the leaders were side by side, but you look behind them, there's 10 car length gap between the guy in third, and you put 30 USMTS modifieds on there, you're just going to be a good race. Look at what they do at Lakeside. I mean, it's
right.
Three wide through the whole pack almost the entire race. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, it, they had no reason to be swapped like that.
My question is, who wanted to do it that way? Was it the drivers, or the teams, or was it the promoter?
I mean, if you look at and you read the post from RaceXR last night about their decision to pull the XR Super late models off the high banks and make
them run.
We're
going to get to that.
Yeah, the short track, I mean, that's the promoter right there, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I'm not there. I can't tell you.
So all I'm saying is you're paying modifieds $10,000 to win a race. They should be on the big track.
Right.
The stock car should be on the small track. That's all I'm saying about that. I'm just going to say it as I believe it. I think that that's the way they should have done it. If you're listen, if you can afford to race for $10,000 to win, and that's kind of the average purse or the winnings for USMTS, right? Because they've cut back on the amount of races they run, and they're running more high-dollar races instead of running more races for less money.
Right.
So I think that me personally, I think the USMTS guys should have been out on the big track. They're racing for real money. I'm just saying. They're racing for real, real money. $10,000 to win. Now, let's move forward from last night. We watched Jonathan Davenport kind of just put it on him last night at Belleville, right?
Yeah, class the field.
Definitely the class the field. Whatever they got going on with that car right now, they've got it going on, right? But I'll say it. It wasn't much of a race last night. Did you watch it? Any of it?
Yeah. I watched the highlights when I woke up, and I watched the whole full race replay when I got here.
It really wasn't a race, was it?
No. I mean, the most racing was lap one when they're all right next to each other. But, yeah. No, I mean, Madden had a shot. Late in the race, and then I think Davenport got the signal six to get her wound up, and he pulled back away.
So
from
last
besides that, that was not a big race.
Last night they were supposed to run 25 laps. This is one of your pet peeves. Just so you know, Austin hates it when they cut laps. Am I correct? For the most part, you're not in favor of cutting laps, right?
Well, I mean, there are certain times when you need to. Definitely. Yeah. Like, I know when we went to I-80 with the sprint car, it was going to take rubber, and it did. And there was no way that our tires would have lasted 25 laps. So it was the right call to make at 20. But when you're in a situation that you don't need to do like that, make a choice like that, then you don't need to cut it. I mean, you're robbing the racer of money, really. Because, I mean, if you're starting 20th in the field and you got a shot and you got the car to drive to top five, top ten,
right?
But you don't have, you have half the laps to do it. I mean, you stole money from them.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, when the situation is right to cut laps, and I'll agree with you. But when it's just, I'm gonna cut laps because, whatever. I mean,
worried about tires,
yeah,
and whatnot.
I guess, but that's just my opinion on it.
As a driver, you're supposed to take care of your tires, right?
Yeah. Well, first off, it's on Hoosier or your tire manufacturer.
Hoosier's
a good tire.
Hoosier's got a real problem right now.
I saw a deal on Twitter last night that, you look at Jonathan Davenport's tires after the million, and they could have ran another at least 50 or so laps on there. They were really good condition. but you go look at tires from Knoxville that ran 8 laps, 10 laps, and a 360 feature, and their treads peeling off of them.
Jamie Ball's
out.
Had some really bad luck with
tires.
Yeah,
I mean, what's the difference between a sprint car tire and a late model tire? They come from Hoosier. So right. What are you guys doing wrong to our tires?
Yeah. Well, so now the news today, folks, is they ran on the half mile last night with the XR Super Series, and they're gonna pull it back and they're gonna run them on the quarter mile tonight, right?
Yes.
For $20,000 a win. Is that right? 20?
I believe 40 is what it should pay. Let me check the website.
I thought it was 20. Anyway,
they paid 20 last night.
Oh, they did 20 last night. Do you think the drivers went to the XR Super Series and said, hey, listen, it's a little dangerous what we're doing out there. Did you see the one tire blow up last night and blew the entire half, the quarter panel off of that car? Did you see that last night, Austin? Did you see the highlights of that part?
Yeah, I saw that.
I mean, I get it that if they're worried about the tires blowing apart and destroying their race car, maybe I might feel the same way too.
So on the website, so Davenport won $20,000 last night, but the website says he was supposed to win $25,000. Tonight's supposed to pay $50,000, but I've also heard they're going to pay $40,000.
Yeah,
$1,000 a win.
Lloyd says big difference is you have a massive wing to plant a sprint car, unlike a late model. Maybe that does put a little extra friction in the tire and cause the tire to go away quicker. But the real problem is the Hoosier tire.
Yeah,
they're not letting. But also not letting them cure.
But also too, Lloyd, the Lake had issues with the non-wing cars. Jake Swanson's tire did the same thing as Jamie's tire, and it ripped the tread off of it. And he wasn't the only one. Robert Ballou months ago at the Lake again. So, I mean, yeah, the wing might have an effect at certain tracks, but. I mean, we're still having issues with non-wing tires, too.
I'll say this, to be honest with you. Belleville on the big track, they go so fast, it really doesn't produce a great race most of the time. Because they're so fast. They can't get up next to each other.
Did you see a good race at Bristol?
Well, yeah, probably. Yeah, it was pretty good. But, I don't know. I mean, I just think when you get up to a certain speed, you just can't get up next to people, right?
Yeah.
Did you like the race at Bristol?
I mean, it was all right. I mean, you saw one person passing was Kyle Larson, but
yeah.
I mean, besides that, it was kind of start where you finish where you start kind of deal.
Yeah. Ethan says, "How about sprint cars without wings? They would probably put on a better show at Belleville than." A wing car, probably, wouldn't you think?
I think he was talking about our tire talk.
Oh, okay. Well, we've seen cars with issues with their tires on non-wing cars, too,
yeah.
Haven't we?
Like I said, I mean,
Robert Ballou, right?
Saw Swanson, Ballou, Brad Wyatt's tire had the same issue. I mean, mm-hmm. We're not the only sprint cars having issues. Now, midgets... I haven't seen anything with midgets yet, but
right,
you know, it's just, you know, mediums and H15s and H12 left rears that we're having issues with.
Tammy, she's checking in. Tammy, we always appreciate you tuning in to the show. She said that is the same knock on the reopening of West Virginia Motor Speedway. Too big and fast. You know, I don't think... Me personally, I'm not all into the spectacle of speed things. You know, that's what I really didn't care much for IndyCar racing when it was at Kansas Speedway. It was more of a spectacle of speed. It wasn't really, even though they had some really good races in IndyCar at Kansas Speedway, it was more of a spectacle of speed. And I'm not into that. I really want to see side-by-side racing more than a spectacle of speed, wouldn't you? What would you rather see? Because you're kind of a Formula One guy, right? So you kind of like Formula One. So, and that's more of a spectacle of speed thing, too, isn't it?
I
they don't pass that much.
They actually do. Now, you remember what racing was like in the mid-2000s when it was awful late 2010s when you had 1.18 passes for the lead.
Right.
So now they came through and redesigned the car, and aerodynamics have been reworked. And actually, I mean,
they took some of the whistles and bells off of them, too, didn't they?
Yeah. So, yeah. Without if somebody watching the race, I mean, there was plenty of drama and excitement at the last race on Sunday. I mean, both Ferraris had engine failures, and then, you had a good racing throughout the field. I mean, it's not just, qualify and just get out there and race in a train and don't do anything for 50 some odd laps. But no, it's,
yeah.
I mean, I watch it for the drama and the prestige of F1.
Right. Do you think that the racing that we saw last night at Belleville with the XR Super Series, do you think that was a good race? Let me rephrase this question to you, Austin. Do you think we'll see a better race on the quarter mile track tonight?
As much as I hate to say it, probably.
Yeah, probably so.
Yeah, you look at the track state, it was slick, really dusty. It was, two lanes off the bottom. It should have taken rubber if it didn't. I'm not sure. It sure looked like it did.
It
the
did
way,
to me.
The way the cars were kind of, running, the way that Madden ran down Davenport. But, I mean, what do you kind of expect?
It's like he found the rubber first.
Yeah, I mean, right. what do you expect? In Kansas City, it's 100 degrees today, and the rest of the week, it's 90 right now. Western Kansas is always hotter. It's always windier. And I bet you it's just, you're trying to prep two tracks at once, so that didn't help. And then, that track being so big, it's kind of hard to keep a hold of, and it's just, you got, victim to the weather. But, I think it'll be a better track better race on the quarter mile.
It's probably going to be a better race. I'm with you. All I'm saying is when you pay $10,000 to win or you pay really big money, I think there was a little misleading going on there by people saying they're racing on the high banks, right? When they're racing on the quarter mile.
All right.
That's
but
all I'm
saying. Guess they call it the low banks too. So
the low banks, right.
We got a little clarification on that.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about this more. If you'd like to call in, we've got an open segment. We'll open up the phone lines to you, 816-833-8553, 816-833-8553. We'll put that number up when we come back. Austin O'Neill and myself, more of Mostly Motorsports when we continue. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Well, darn it. Lot going on with Wayne Purdy right now, and I was just informed that he is not going to be able to make it. They are doing an engine change. A lot going on right now. Too much going on. Sorry, can't make it. Some other time for sure. And so there we are. Without a guest today. So we'll open up the phone lines, 816-833-8553. Put the phone number up there for us, 816-833-8553. What do you think about these big racetracks? That's kind of the question right now, right? You know, Austin, do you think half-mile racing, do you think is... What would you rather watch? Let me rephrase the question. What would you rather watch? Would you rather watch a half mile with sprint cars on it, or would you rather run a 3/8 or a quarter mile with sprint cars on it? What would you rather watch? As a fan, not as a driver, but as a fan, what would you rather watch? That's the question for people if they want to call
in. That's a tough question. Because if as a fan, I want to see good racing. All right,
right.
I don't care where it's at, what it's at. I want to see good racing. And there's good racing at all types of venues. Look at Knoxville last Saturday and Friday night. I mean,
right.
You had Knox on Friday night. You had the top three all had a shot in the last three laps after the restart. And then kind of Brown just kind of gave it to him on Saturday. But I mean. I mean,
Hold on. I don't think like you do on that one. I think Brown had to lift because he thought that Marks was going to get into him.
I didn't bring that up.
No, I know. But what you said was he kind of gave it away to him.
No, I said that he kind of gave it to them on Saturday. He owned the field pretty much.
Oh, you're talking about Brian giving it to the rest of the field. I got you. Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood you.
No, that's fine. But, I mean, Knox always puts on good racing, but there are some half miles that don't. Mm-hmm. And then you go to, some quarter miles or 3/8 that have good racing, and you have ones that don't. I mean, I think, I don't know. I just want to see good racing. It's just my opinion, but I'm always in favor of the half miles, and just, I mean, they're a dying breed. You don't have a whole lot of them left,
right?
And I mean, they're just as hard as a race on as a quarter mile, in my opinion.
Well, I you know, we're getting a lot of opinions here from people. Let's back up here and let's talk about some of the opinions some of the people are putting out. John Lee, great photographer, high-flying photos. If you guys ever want to check out what he does a lot of great interviews with some of the drivers at the racetracks. Check him out. High-flying photos, John Lee. He says quarter mile for sure. Ethan says quarter mile, 3/8 all the way. Lloyd Collins says 3/8 or quarter mile. John Lee said, again, he said half mile spread out 98% of the time, which I agree with you 100%, John. Most half mile tracks in the country have been cut down to 3/8, smaller, except for PA. Cheaper to run track and show is usually run quicker at the smaller tracks. I would agree with that as well. Chad says it's Belleville. It should be run on the big track, and I'm with you. If you're gonna advertise the big track, you need to. We were just talking off the air, Kirk, and Austin and I, and I'm not sure that I would drive from Kansas City to Belleville to watch them race on the quarter mile track. Would anybody else drive 4 or 5 hours to watch them run on the little track? I don't think so.
No, because you could watch quarter mile racing around Kansas City or wherever else you're from.
Right, right. John also says, unfortunately, I-70 was made a quarter mile too big. It's awesome, but still, it's still a little fast, large and fast. Let me tell you something about I-70 Speedway. They all talked about how that racetrack, the old configuration, was going to be way too fast for sprint cars. And all they did was build another racetrack that's real fast, right? You're getting ready to race out there. You haven't been out on it yet, but
no.
That baby's going to be balls out, hang on type of racetrack. Tommy Hahn says a quarter mile or 3/8. I wouldn't drive to watch the quarter mile either, said Chad. So somebody's
mowing your yard?
Somebody is mowing my yard outside right now, it sounds like. Or my neighbor's mowing right now. So anyway, long story short is that, you know, this has been the topic about Lakeside Speedway here in Kansas City. Lakeside Speedway, a lot of people know it, and I'll just talk about it a little bit. It's a 4/10 mile track, and a lot of people think it's too big. I don't think so. I think that 4/10 mile is a pretty good sized track. It's not much bigger than a 3/8 mile, right? It's not that much bigger. I don't think they should cut down Lakeside myself.
No. Mm-mm. No, because you cut it down and you're like every other track you have in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
Quarter mile, 3/8, a third mile. We're all small. The only big track we have left is the state fair that runs once a year. Yeah, and I mean, you got to have something different.
But to be fair, though, there is some half-mile tracks that put on some pretty good racing, right?
Yes.
Right?
And there's some that aren't, that don't.
Knoxville is a great example how they put on great races up there. Wouldn't you agree with that? Don't you think that Knoxville, out of all the half-miles in the country...
I think Knoxville, Port Royal, Williams Grove.
Sealings Grove.
I think a lot of the Pennsylvania tracks are good.
Yeah.
But
they know how to race them.
They know how to race them.
Because that's all they race on.
They know how to prep them.
And that too. But they know how to race on them because that's all they do is race on those big tracks, right?
Right. Yeah, I mean the prep is the biggest thing too. I mean, look at Knoxville. You had almost two lanes this past weekend. You know, the bottom wasn't as good, but you could make it work for a couple laps.
Right.
And then you go to tracks like, I'll hate to say it, I-80. A couple weeks ago, and it was one lane around the top for the sprint cars. I mean, there's another half mile that was, you know, with 3 hours, you know, each way to one track, and one track was good and one track wasn't, and it's all track prep.
Yeah, but, you know, if you're going to have one lane, make sure it's the top.
Well, it was one lane in the rubber, so.
Well, but what I'm saying is, though, if you're going to have a top or a bottom, what would you rather have? I'd rather have the top. That way you can see some slide jobs, yeah. Right?
Yeah, desperate slide jobs.
Yeah, but still.
No, I mean, I'm just saying.
I mean, if everybody's putting around the bottom, around the Uke tires, that's the most boring race that anybody could ever have, just putting around the bottom. Would you agree with that?
No, you're 100% right.
Yeah. So long story short is, you know, there's some good half miles around the country that race, and more of them are out in PA, right? We've got Knoxville here in the Midwest. But if you're going to race at Belleville and you're going to pay the kind of money that they're paying those late model drivers, what's it pay tonight? Did you find out?
Kirk told me $40,000 to win.
It's $40,000 to win tonight. It was $20,000 last night, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not driving all the way out to Belleville to watch them run on that quarter mile.
No.
There's certain tracks that just don't produce good racing. And to be honest with you, I'm not sure I'd... Is Belleville too fast? Should they reconfigure the racetrack a little bit to make it to where they can get some side-by-side racing? Because it's round, right? I mean, once you go into turn one, you're turning the whole time you go around the racetrack until you get back to the front straightaway.
Right. I mean, I guess you could reconfigure it, but you lose the history of Belleville and the prestige of it, right?
Yeah. Were you a little surprised about the low car count for Joe Kosciuszko series last night? I was. I was a little surprised by that.
Yeah, I mean, because they usually pull, you know, they usually have a full field.
Right. What, they have 12 last
night? They had 12, and I'm not sure, you know, his stuff is pretty region-based, Iowa, northern Missouri,
I think a lot of guys
Nebraska.
Just didn't want to buy the fuel to come all the way down here. No,
because they'll travel out, you know, they'll come down to Lakeside, CMS. I mean, they'll get out of their, you know, Omaha base and drive, you know, hours down in the city. It's probably the same distance, you know, from Omaha to Belleville as it is from Omaha to Kansas City.
Right.
But, I mean, you're racing on a Monday night. All those guys are, like I said, they're kind of regional-based, and they all probably have 9-to-5 jobs, and you just can't pull them away from your job on a Monday and a Tuesday and expect them to go support your series.
No, there's some truth in that, for sure. Is I-80 considered a half mile? Yes, it is.
Yes, it's... On Google Earth, where you can track and trace track size, it's like a 0.48 on the fence, so it's right at a half mile. Right.
David said that's why they put numbers on the walls. Do they do that at?
Yeah, they have. They
at
have,
Belleville,
they,
so you know where you're at.
Yep.
Yeah.
Only way to know you're on the back stretch is the billboards are sitting right next to you.
Right.
But they're not very long. Only three of them.
Lloyd, he said as much as well, and I agree with you, Lloyd. They're a working man's late model series. You've got to take into consideration that SLMR, most are 40-hour working guys.
Yep.
No, I agree with that. They're not professional racers, right? And to be honest with you, probably those 12 guys that were running there are the guys running for points.
Yes.
Right? If you're not running for points, are you going to spend the money to go, listen?
Or if you live close to the Belleville area.
Yeah. Listen, if fuel came into your play of you going up there last week to Knoxville, right?
Right.
I mean, you thought, we were sitting here and we looked at the weather, and it said 70% chance of rain on Saturday night. Why? And at that point, you got to think, man, do I really want to and spend the money on fuel to go up there and get rained out? Unfortunately, it didn't get rained out, and that was kind of a bad deal for you.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, 2 years ago when we were paying $2-something for diesel, a gallon, you could throw that money away. It wouldn't be an issue, and now you know, you go look at it, and you look at your start money, and I was going to Knoxville paid $325 to start.
Right.
And if you had a bad night, which you know you don't ever really anticipate on having, you're not gonna come away with any money. I'm gonna spend $200 or so, $250 in fuel, and you add pit passes, and you add in your engine rebuild, your fuel for the car. I mean, now you're sitting over $700 some odd, $800, and
right.
You got to run in the top 10 to make that money back. And if you rain out, you're not going to get any money, you know?
Right. Well, I don't know. It's a great topic of discussion. But the one thing for sure that we know is that Knoxville puts on great racing with their half mile.
Yeah. I mean, the only time...
It's one of the few half miles that really produces such great racing like it does, right?
Yeah, it's one of the rare ones, you know. You can add Port Royal into that too. And then, you know, like I said, we talked about this earlier, but you know, all the Pennsylvania tracks are really good, and they got a good program going for them so far.
Tommy brings up a question here. How can they pay $40,000 to win?
True.
I'm just going to say it. Sprint car drivers put their life on the line every time they strap into a sprint car. I'm just going to say it. You know, sprint car racing is the most dangerous form of racing on dirt there is, period, as far as I'm concerned. And why can't we get sprint car races to pay $40,000, $50,000, $20,000? When it's the most exciting form, this is just my opinion, the most exciting form of racing on dirt is sprint car racing, open wheel racing. Doesn't have to have a wing on it. It could be a non-wing car. It could be a wing car. It could be a 360. It could be a 410. 305s, okay. But I'm just saying, how can we get some races to pay that kind of money for sprint car racing when it is the most dangerous form of dirt track racing? Why are we struggling to get promoters to pay that kind of money for sprint car racing? Can anybody answer that question for me? Midgets are very dangerous too, John Lee. You're right. Right.
Listen, John Lee, just so you know,
anything open wheels in that category is what I'm talking about. It doesn't matter if it's a micro, a midget, a non-wing car, a wing car, it doesn't matter. They're all the most dangerous form of racing on dirt, right? Would you agree with me on that, Austin?
Yeah, I'd have to.
So why are the late models getting... is there more fans in late model racing than there is in sprint car racing? This is the question. Can you answer that one?
I wish I could. I don't know. I normally can answer that stuff from you. I don't.
You're drawing a blank.
I am. I mean, I think.
I think late. To be honest with you, I think late models a tick. Right now, you know, sprint car racing is making a resurgence, right? In racing right now. And I think sprint car racing maybe. I heard somebody say this the other night on the air. I don't know who it was. But I think in the last 3 years, sprint car racing is making a comeback.
Yes.
Would you agree?
I agree.
Yeah. So how do we get promoters to pay more money? Now, listen, the Outlaws pay a lot of money, right? The All-Stars pay pretty good money. What do they pay to start in the All-Stars? Do you know? Is it 400?
Let me look.
Take a look there and see what that is. But I'm just saying. I just think that we need to get more money into sprint car racing. Is XM Series a private or a stockholder company? I'm not sure about that. I think Barry Braun just owns that himself, if I'm not mistaken. And listen, I don't know how he's doing it, but holy cow, he's making it good right now. I mean, you just look at all the late model series, the Lucas Oil late model dirt series. You look at the World of Outlaw late model series. You look at the XR Super Series. They're all paying huge money. They must, you know what? They must have a lot of backing behind them, right? There must be people that are invested. And maybe that's what we need, to get more investors involved in sprint car racing.
So here's your starting money for the All-Star Circuit of Champions. For $6,000 a win, $550.
They paid $6,000 last night.
Yep, for $7,000. They have six different breakdowns. For $7,000 a win, $625. $8,000, $700. $10,000 a win, $700. And for $12,000 and $15,000, $750. Mm-hmm. The Outlaws, I believe, pay $1,000 a start.
$1,000?
Yes.
Hmm. All right. Well, there's a lot of thoughts there, and again, the phone lines are open if you'd like to call in and give your opinion. Don't be scared. There's the phone number. You see it right there on the screen, 816-833-8553, 816-833-8553. We're going to take a little break, pay some bills. When we come back, the phone lines are going to be open, and if you call in, we'll get you a shirt sent to you. All right, 816-833-8553. Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Spirit Specialty Sportswear in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
39 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum and our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. We want to remind everybody what's going on up at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. They've got a track tribute to Ascot Park going on up there right now, and they're going to have seven or eight cars that raced at Ascot Park in Gardena, California back in the day. It's inside the museum. It's going to be going on through October 2nd. So get up there and check that out. It is such a great, great exhibit. And if you don't know the history about Ascot Park, it was one of the great racetracks in the country back in the day. So get up there and check out all that's going on right now with that. This weekend, as you know, the Truck Series is going to be racing up there on June 18th, Saturday, this Saturday. And you can buy tickets to sit on the second floor of the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. You can do that for $80. It's well worth it, folks. It's a great view of the racetrack. Maybe none better. You can see them running across one and two, going down the back straightaway. Gives you a different perspective on how these guys drive these sprint cars at Knoxville Raceway. So it's just a great time to go up there again. This Saturday, June 18th, you can buy you a seat for $80 on the second floor of the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. And don't forget, they've also still got the sprint car drawing going on as well. You can purchase a 2022. You can buy a ticket, and hopefully in the drawing, you'll win this 2022 Triple X chassis. It's a 410 car, and they're going to be giving that away on December 16th. That'll be on Friday of the Knoxville Nationals. So that's cool as well. And they're also giving away, not giving away, but you'll have to buy a ticket, one of 1,000. It's a 2022 IMSA GTLM Championship Edition C8R Corvette. And they will be doing the drawing on that on Saturday, August 13th at the Knoxville Nationals. Again, this is only one of 1,000 Corvettes that were made. I just saw one in the paper the other day for selling for $150,000, folks. So if you win the car, it's like putting $150,000 in your pocket if you want to sell it. So get up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. Make sure you tell them Bob Baker that the Racing Boys sent you up there. And we're going to go to the phones now. We got a phone caller. I think it's Tommy Hahn. Tommy, how you doing, brother?
Hey, Scott. How's it going?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing today?
Awesome, awesome. Just enjoying the hot Oklahoma day.
So, Tommy, what do we got to do to get people to pay more money for sprint car racing?
Man, I don't know, Scott. That's why I don't know how Barry Braun is doing that with the XR Series. But, man, it's great, but I wish he'd come over to the sprint car side and do it over here. But
yeah.
The crowd-wise, I don't see. He must be doing with sponsorship, and I don't know where it's coming from. But
yeah,
it's good for late model racing. Unbelievable. I mean, if you had a late model lot right now, you'd be loving it.
Yeah. It almost makes you think you might need to go late model racing. You would never do that, but I know, how do we get, so what we need to do is get corporate America more involved with sprint car racing, right? I mean, there's some good corporate companies out there involved, but we need to get more of them involved and get these races bumped up to where, sprint car racing pays $20,000 to win, and what would you rather do, Tommy? Would you rather run 35 nights for $20,000 to win, or would you rather run 50 nights for $6,000 to win?
I'd rather run the 35, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, but, you know, it's sprint car deal. Sprint car is definitely on the rise right now in the world of Outlaws and ASCS and All Stars. I mean,
I agree.
You know, it's everything's on the, you know, it's crowds are up. The car count doesn't, you know, the Kenny Brown's new Power I-410 series launched this weekend. Everyone was worried about car count at the lake. And, you know, he had 24 tens, and there was actually just one 360. So, I mean, it was true 410s, had some good cars. They had the Extreme non-wing series, had like 27 cars. Of course, had, you know, good cars in that too. So,
yeah,
you know, had a good crowd. So,
you guys had a nice finish down there last weekend too. It seems like every time Blake puts in one of those 410s, he runs well. I mean, we look at what he did up at, where was it, where he ran up there? Husetts.
Yeah, Husetts.
How well he ran up at Husetts, right?
Yeah, we love running the 410. Blake's adapted to it. You know, we just really don't get to run it very much. Next year, we're definitely going to run it more. We've got a couple of 410s that we want to run more of it next year. Right now, we're committed to the ASCS, you know, National Series. And we're looking at the schedule, Scott. We've got 40 ASCS national shows scheduled from now till end of the year.
Wow,
40 shows.
Yeah. Are you
going to be a?
What are we?
No more 410 racing the rest of the year is what I'm getting at. It's probably going to be mostly all the 360s, but we'd love to be able to do more 410.
Yeah, and I think this deal that Kenny Brown's putting on is going to turn out all right, don't you?
I do too. I really do. This was really his first standalone show that he'd done, and he, you know, like I said, it was a good turnout. He's paying really well. He paid $5,000 to win and $500 to start.
Right.
Excellent pay. And by the way, on the tire thing at the lake, we're talking about the non-wing thing.
Right.
We actually ran a medium all night. We could have ran an H on the right rear or a medium. We actually ran a medium all night after we qualified on an H. We put a used medium on because we had a leak on it right before we were out for the heat. And it was 2 years old, right rear medium.
Uh-uh.
And we ran it, the heat and the feature, and it still looked good after the feature.
Wow. How about that?
So I don't know what that means, but that's a medium. That's an ASCS medium tire is what it was, 2 years old. So I don't know.
Yeah,
I looked at Ryan Timms after he had an H on. His had a few blister spots on it. Had a little patch on it where it lost a little bit of rubber, but not very much. But you know, but hopefully Hoosier's got everything. We can get some more tires here, and everybody can get racing again.
I think the biggest problem Hoosier has right now, Tommy, and tell me if you disagree with me, is that they're not letting these tires cure long enough. Is what it seems like to
me. That's what they say, and it makes sense. Right now, it's just their product seems to be they seem to be rushing it out, trying to get caught up with the demand. So, hopefully, they say in the next week or so they're going to be caught up. So, we just cross our fingers and hope that's true. We're going to be at Texarkana this weekend with the ASS National Show, and then we're going to Boot Hill Speedway. So I don't know if you've been to either one of those, Scott. 67 Speedway in Boot Hill.
Texarkana, I went there once. It was a long time ago. And
probably Gary Wright probably won, I'm sure.
I miss Gary Wright.
I know. I just talked to Gary Wright yesterday, called him on the phone.
How's he doing?
He invited him out. He's doing great. Invited him out to the track, and he said it was on his list, and he said he would be there. So one of the greatest guys, greatest racers of all time, for sure.
You know, it was so funny. It took me a year or two to really get in with Gary Wright when he was out there with us on the national tour. But once he realized that I was out there for good and I was going to stay out there, me and him became pretty good friends. And, you know, I'm with you. I don't know if there's a nicer guy than Gary Wright, really.
He's awesome. He's an awesome guy. So
yeah,
we look forward to getting to talk with him this weekend at Texarkana. Of course, it's going to be hot, but we'll be there racing, and hopefully everyone will come out and have a great crowd.
Did you watch that race last night at Wayne County Speedway? Justin Peck picked up the win.
I did. Well, he spanked him, didn't he? Justin's looking good. I think Sunshine, he might need to be worried this year because Peck, he stepped it up.
Yeah, he's definitely stepped up his game. You know, were you a little surprised last night how Corey Eliason went backwards? He went back to fifth.
Yeah, from after leading, usually when he starts up there, he don't usually fade like that. He's had a tough year. They got the best of the best, and I promise you, they'll be searching, trying to find out what's going on.
Yeah, Tommy, I appreciate you calling in, buddy. You're like family to me, and I sure appreciate you calling in. Thank you, buddy.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, see you later. All right, that's Tommy Hahn, the son of Emmett Hahn, good guy, one of my best friends. I think the world of Tommy Hahn. So, anyway, all right, Austin, you got any final thoughts here before we get out of here?
Yeah, we had a caller call in and was kind of...
complaining?
No, he's confused why we didn't mention Eldora in the talk of the money that they're kind of putting up. They're putting up all that money for that sprint car race, $175,000 to win, and then the million, and
that's the only racetrack that's doing it, though, right?
It is,
right? I don't know. I just like to see more high dollar races. Eldora is the only one that steps up to the plate and pays real money.
Mm-hmm.
They're the only ones, right?
Yep. Yep, and then he...
I mean, listen, $10,000 to win is a pretty good money to win. You know, when you're talking about the All-Stars and when you're talking about the World of Outlaws, 10 grand's pretty good. But if late models are paying 30, 40, 50 grand to win, we should be right there with them.
Right.
Right.
Now, then his second point was Eldora puts on better racing than Knoxville.
Right. Do you think? Do you agree with that?
I think sometimes it might, but
right.
I'm a big. I mean, I like both tracks. Don't get me wrong, but
right.
I'm a big Knoxville homer. So
and Caleb brings up a good point. We should see how the new Houston's High Bank Nationals for $100,000 goes.
Yeah, that should be very interesting. $100,000 to win.
Yeah, there's a couple races. Skagit is going to pay a lot of money. Houston's is going to pay a lot of money, and Eldora is going to pay a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like we're
there's
not getting
a few
paid
of them.
It,
there's
it's
a
like
few
we're
of
not
them.
Getting paid at all. I mean,
right,
we are, but
right.
It's not as on a frequent basis as late model racing.
Right, for sure. All right. Well, we want to thank everybody for tuning into the show today. We're going to reschedule Wayne Purdy. Maybe we'll get him in here on Thursday. We don't have anybody booked up for Thursday. Tomorrow we're going to have Steve Post on. Maybe we'll get into this discussion with him a little bit tomorrow about what do we got to do to get more money into sprint car racing. Maybe Steve Post might have the answer because he's pretty knowledgeable about everything. Tammy says, but Eldora can hold a lot of spectators. I don't know how XR is paying this kind of money. I'm with you. I think there's a lot of people worried. You know what? I think their involvement with SMI has helped them a little bit.
I
believe that they figured out a formula through the SMI group and some of their corporate sponsors to be how they get the money pulled together.
Yeah, I mean, Marcus Smith is not poor at all, by no means.
Right, right. All right, well, that's it. We're going to wrap it up. Tomorrow, Steve Post is going to join us here on Mostly Motorsports, and we'll talk to him about what we can do to raise the purses in sprint car racing. For my partner Kirk Elliott, for my producer Austin O'Neill, I'm Scott Traylor saying thanks for joining us. We'll do it all over again tomorrow at 12 noon Central Time. We hope that you'll join us. It's all been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. Again, for Kirk, for Austin, I'm Scott. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Mostly Motorsports.
main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding mucus fuel treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system, pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Mucus Fuel Treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.